Bonsoir, good evening, tout le monde. Welcome to our Zoom Council meeting for July 7th, 2020. On va commencer la réunion. On a du quorum. Donc, il est 7h01. Bienvenue à tous les résidents qui décident de participer dans notre réunion de Zoom. Welcome to all the residents who decided to participate in our Zoom meeting. We have a number of questions that have come from the public. So we will begin with the public question period. So our first question came to us from, I believe, a soon-to-be new resident, Monsieur Marc German and Anka Grigoriou. I'm sorry if I've mispronounced your name, Mr. German. But there are four questions. One, will there be streetlights budgeted for the Adventure Road? And the answer to that is currently there are no bylaws to for more lighting on rural roads than are currently there. The bylaw for your development and the municipalization of Adventure Road required that one street light be installed by the developer, and they have done so. Your second question was in regards to any plans to have the lots behind the Lusville City Hall connected to a water and sewer network. Currently, no, there are no plans to do so, considering that there are only approximately 32 properties to be built on back there, and no significant property for future development in that area. It certainly would be very cost prohibitive for the municipality to install a multi-million dollar water and sewer system for such a small neighborhood. Your third question was the zoning questions, including the available cadastre, the new development behind the city hall. Again, the lot sizes are all different. And well, all I can say, speak to on that was that this was the urban planning that the developer proposed and was accepted. Of course, sometimes lots sizes will be a little different depending on whether they're on the inside corner, outside corner, etc. But it is the plan that the developer, the promoter, presented to the municipality and was approved by the former council. And your fourth question was with regards to elections, trying to understand the process of how to get involved in municipal politics. The question read, will there be any council positions openings? If so, what are the requirements other than being voted in to become a member of council? So for all questions regarding elections, it's not political. I invite you to contact the Director General of the municipality. His name is Pierre Saïd. He is also the president of elections, and he'd be happy to answer any questions you have about the process for the upcoming elections in 2021. Next question comes to us from John Belcher. And the first question was, why was the notification for the water cutoff notice for July 1st sent to all households instead of just those who would be affected as they are on town water? So there are approximately 450 residents in the village of Cuillo who are on the municipal water supply system, and 500 notices were sent out through Canada Post to be delivered. They did deliver to 500 addresses, so there's possible that a few extras who are not on the water system received some, but also this was to ensure that everyone that could possibly be affected by the water cutoff would receive a notice. Your next question. Sorry, lots of beeping of people coming in. I apologize for the noise that's making on my computer. The next question was, you state that a poll was taken to ask whether ratepayers supported the increase for council members tabled in bylaw 03-20. 100% of those responded do not support this increase and are asking council members to vote against this increase out of respect for residents. Many residents have suffered financial hardship as a result of COVID-19, and many council members have stated that they did not run for council for financial gain, but rather to play a major role in supporting and improving their municipality for the best interest of residents. As stated in the draft bylaw, that the responsibility for setting the remuneration of elected municipal officials rests with the municipality. It is not correct to interpret that as saying there is no requirement under the legislation to increase the remuneration So the legislation would still be respected by not adopting bylaw 020. Well, council never received a copy of the survey that you speak of. However, the bylaw is not being tabled at tonight's agenda. It's going back to committee for further review. So thank you for your question. Next question comes to us from Valerie Miller, and it's regards to the situation for wells, specifically in the Breckenridge area, but I think it applies to the entire municipality. And she reads, it's great that the municipality has a water warning issued. What steps are required to take this up a level? Fines, which increase for wasting water, watering grass, etc. I was previously told by the municipality that control of water use of well users is not possible. Basically, the use of well water is up to each homeowner needs and wants. And that in fact is true. The municipality has absolutely no jurisdiction over people's private wells, only the public water network that we own and operate in the village of Cuyo. However, in saying that, we have issued water warnings to residents. We will continue to repeat them as long as the drought exists, but there is absolutely nothing we can do legally to prevent someone from using their well water. There are no fines, so that we cannot ask the police to intervene because there is no law, that they're not breaking any law. So it's really a question of doing a lot of education and the sensibilization with the residents to reduce their water consumption throughout the region, because we have a number of residents throughout the area who are on wells that are very concerned. And I myself live on a well, so I understand how challenging it is. In 2012, in the last well, I include myself and many residents who lost their wells and had to drill new ones. So we ask the public, and we'll continue to ask the public, whether you're on a well or on the municipal water system, to reduce your consumption. We have another list of questions that come from Susan Stanley, and I will read them. What is the status and plan for the Tremblay Road boat launch in Lusville? We have two people who asked this question at tonight's meeting. One will be later on. I'll repeat it in French, as the question came to us in both languages. As many of you know, we did do an engineering study for the boat ramp launch in 2018. The cost of the ramp is approximately $300,000, but with the recent natural disasters, council has prioritized necessary work to road infrastructure. However, we will bring it back to the table for discussion at this fall's budget planning session. The next question was, what is the status and plan for Bronson Byron road repairs and projected date? The municipality is still working with our provincial partners, namely the Ministry of Public Security, on the replacement of the culvert. It's a question of who will pay and how much at this point. What we do know is that the project is certainly a lot larger than the project on Chemin à la Rue, where we lost a culvert in 2017. So the municipality is trying to do everything we can to reduce our costs in this project. But we'll certainly advise the public as soon as we have any advancements on that. Next question, can we please have a quote as to how much SQ, Sortie du Québec, would cost us versus MRC des Collines? Well, first of all, this is a question more appropriate for the MRC Council, not Municipal Council, because the municipality really doesn't have any say on this issue. However, as someone who sits on that council, I can speak to it. The question has already been brought forward from the MRC to the Ministry of Public Security, who oversees all aspects of public security in the province. And the request has been denied. And the reason for it is because our municipality falls in the jurisdiction of the metropolitan region of Gatineau, and the Sûreté du Québécois do not have a couple. The Sûreté du Québec, SQ, do not have a mandate to provide policing in the metropolitan Gatineau area. So, but however, the MRC is still working on ways to reduce our policing costs and working with the provincial government on the new Green Book, which will encompass a review of policing prospects. Next question, is the Elvis building compliant to building code since the floods? Well, the agricultural building in Kuio did not suffer any structural damage during the flood, so its level of compliancy is the same since before the flood. So, next question, can we offer M&R Feed building to the public for public sale and reinvest money within our municipality? Yes, there's a resolution on the table tonight where council will be voting on exactly that. So this will be depend on what the vote of council will be. Next question, actually, sorry, I've skipped. Sorry, my document is a little difficult to read. Okay, so the next questions come from Mr. Carl Hager. Good evening, Carl. I see you're there with us tonight. I believe there's a duplicate question. Susan, I apologize if I missed one of your questions because my screen is cut off and I can't get at it, but I believe you had a question regarding Steel Line Road as well as Mr. Hager. I answer them both. The question was how much of Steel Line Road in terms of meters will be repaired this summer. So the answer to that, again, it's on tonight's agenda and council will be approving a resolution on repairs to Steel Line Road, and I believe it's for 200 meters. The next question, is there a weight limit or restrictions now or in the future to be imposed on Steel Line Road traffic? Yes, there currently is. No heavy traffic are allowed on that road, no trucks except for local traffic only, local deliveries. Mr. Hager, your next question, is Mountain Road going to be repaired this summer as previously stated by the mayor? If not, seeing as there are no signs advertising impending major road construction, when will it be finished as previously stated? I believe, Susan, one of your questions was on this as well. So the Mountain Road, we were hoping to go out to tender this fall. Everything came to a standstill with COVID, and we've gone out to submission for a new plan de vie because the original plans and specifications came back at a $3.4 million. Which was way out of the cost. We'd already approved for a $2 million borrowing bylaw for those repairs. So we've asked our engineering firm to go back and do a new plan that will fit within the budget. And we're expecting to have that by the end of July and go out to tender subsequently. And depending on the tendering bids that we get, we will then announce when the construction will commence. And your last question, Mr. Hager, can the mayor please give an accurate and precise update as to the progress the municipality is doing requiring property owners to repair or demolish burnt out otherwise derelict buildings as stated above? So yes, this has been an ongoing issue in our municipality for some time. As you know, Mr. Hager, you've brought this to the table a number of times and you're certainly very aware. Including in your area, in Kuio, and across the municipality. So as many of you may know, we were without any building inspectors for about a year. This January, a new building inspector did start, and he was being trained in the job and was ready to start to go out and do the visits on the territory when COVID hit, and we were not allowed to do any inspections on property. Since when was the construction relaunched again? I'm sorry, I've forgotten the date. But in May, when the construction companies were allowed to start up again, of course, the demand for permits in the municipality went up significantly, everything from new housing, decks, renovations, et cetera. Everybody's had COVID, so a lot of people are doing lots of projects at home. So there's a backlog on those requests for permits. However, as soon as we've got caught up with the backlogs, council has insisted that it be a priority for our urbanism department to start dealing with the derelict properties in the municipality. And then Notre dernière question vient de Stéphane Fortin. Est-ce que le municipalité a mis à jour sur le projet de rampe de mise à l'eau pour bateaux? L'étude déjà, date déjà de quelques années et j'aimerais savoir où nous sommes avec le projet. Donc, j'ai répondu en anglais tantôt, mais comme j'ai répondu dans l'autre question, une étude ingénieure a été faite en 2018. Ça va coûter la municipalité environ 300 000 $ pour réaliser le projet de la rampe mise à l'eau. Donc, le conseil a décidé, après tous les désastres naturels qu'on a eu, comme tournades, inondations, etc., puis de mettre nos priorités pour le moment sur nos infrastructures routières, puis essayer d'avancer surtout sur les pinceaux, etc. Mais on va apporter le projet à les exercices de planification financière en automne qui va commencer vers le mois de août pour le budget de l'année prochaine. Leslie, you have the documents in front of you. I must say I switched my document from a Mac to from a PC to a Mac and it didn't transfer well. Is there anything on there that I may have missed that you see on the original document? Do you have the questions in front of you?
I do. I am not seeing anything that has not been addressed other than the list of attendees.
The list of
attendees?
Okay. Yeah, so I apologize to anybody. I just, in order to be able to read all the documents, I'm working from two laptops, a PC and a Mac, and anybody who knows, sometimes the documents don't transfer very well. So I apologize, but I think we've got all of the questions. Donc, merci à tout le monde pour les bonnes questions. Thank you for the questions, and we are going to begin with our council meeting. Item 3, l'adoption de l'ordre de jour.
Juste un peu plus haut, je crois, s'il vous plaît. Merci. Il est proposé par la conseillère Mme Leslie Ann Barber et appuyé par la conseillère Mme Isabelle Patry et résolu d'adopter l'ordre du jour tel que préparé et lu.
Donc, désolée, Madame Barber, avant qu'on adopte l'ordre de jour, j'ai oublié de mentionner qu'on a des changements à faire. I'm sorry, but before we adopt the agenda, I forgot to add that we have two amendments to make to the agenda. One is we have added item 5.8, which is the resolution for the sale of the mill. On veut ajouter item 5.8, qui est la résolution pour la vente du moulin. Et on veut retirer le item 9.3. Et ça, c'est la résolution d'octroi du contrat pour le Blue Jays. Donc, avant qu'on prenne le vote, on va prendre le vote pour le nouveau ordre de jour. So before we take the vote, we will be taking the vote for the amended resolution by adding item number 5.8 and removing item 9.3. Okay. So the adoption of the modified agenda, it is moved by Councillor Leslie Ann Barber and seconded by Councillor Isabelle Parti and resolved to adopt the agenda as prepared, read, and modified. All in favor?
Four.
Contre? Against? Carry. Item numéro 4.
C'est l'adoption du procès-verbal de la séance du 9 juin 2020. Il est proposé par la conseillère Madame Isabelle Patry et appuyé par la conseillère Mme Susan McKay, est résolu d'adopter le procès-verbal de la séance du 9 juin 2020.
Adoption of the minutes of the meeting of June 9th, 2020. It is moved by Councillor Isabelle Papri and seconded by Councillor Susan McKay and resolved to adopt the minutes of the meeting of June 9th, 2020. All in favor?
Four.
Against? Any? Sorry, Pierre, are you able to see all councillors on your screen? Okay, I can't see them all with the documents in front of me. Okay. Carried. 5.1.
Ce sont les transferts budgétaires. Il est proposé par la conseillère Mme Susan McKay et appuyé par la conseillère Mme Leslie-Anne Barber et résolu que la municipalité effectue les transferts budgétaires au montant total de 1 110,25 $.
Budgetary transfers. It is moved by Councillor Susan McKay and seconded by Councillor Leslie-Anne Barber and resolved that the municipality carry out the budgetary transfers in the amount of $1,010.25. All in favor?
Four.
Against? Carried. Item 5.2.
C'est la liste des engagements de dépenses pour le mois de juillet 2020. Il est proposé par le conseiller M. Thomas Howard et appuyé par la conseillère Mme Isabelle Patry et résolu d'engager les dépenses pour un montant total de 60 854,45 $, taxes incluses.
List of incurred expenses for the month of June 2020. It is moved by Councillor Thomas Howard and seconded by Councillor Isabelle Patry and resolved to accept the incurring expenses for a total amount of $60,854.45, taxes included. All in favor?
Four.
Against? Carried. Item 5.3.
C'est le surplus non affecté. Considérant qu'une écriture comptable est nécessaire au livre de la municipalité à la suite de la fermeture de l'année 2019, par conséquent, il est proposé par la conseillère Mme Susan McKay et appuyé par le conseiller M. Thomas Howard et résolu de débiter le poste budgétaire numéro 59-120-00-000 de 1 068 773,76 $ pour le financement des projets en cours et de créditer le poste budgétaire numéro 59-110-00-000 au surplus non affecté du même montant.
Non-allocated surplus, whereas an accounting entry is required in the municipality's books following the closing of the year 2019. Therefore, it is moved by Councillor Susan McKay and seconded by Councillor Thomas Howard and resolved to debit budget item 59120000000 by $1,068,773.76 for the financing of ongoing projects and to credit budget item number 59100000, which is non-allocated surplus, by the same amount. All in favor?
Four.
Against? Carried. Item 5.4.
C'est un avis de motion. Avis de motion est donné par la conseillère Mme Isabelle Patry du district 5 de la municipalité de Pontiac à l'effet qu'il y aura adoption du règlement 05-20 concernant la publication des avis publics pour la municipalité de Pontiac.
Notice of motion. Notice of motion is given by Councillor Isabelle Papri of District 5 of the Municipality of Pontiac that there will be an adoption of the bylaw 05-20 concerning the publication of public notices of the Municipality of Pontiac. Item 5.5.
C'est le dépôt du dit projet de règlement numéro 5-20 concernant la publication des avis publics.
Tabling of the draft bylaw of number 05-20 concerning the publication of public notices. Item 5.6.
C'est une modification à la procédure d'adoption du règlement 04-20. Considérant qu'un avis de motion a été donné à la séance du 27 mai 2020, à l'effet qu'il y aura adoption du projet de règlement 0420 concernant la mise en place d'un projet pilote pour permettre le maintien de poules pondeuses. Considérant que le projet de règlement a été adopté à la séance du 27 mai 2020, conformément à la procédure pour l'adoption d'un règlement de zonage prévu aux articles de la Loi sur l'aménagement et l'urbanisme, considérant que le comité de réglementation propose des modifications au projet de règlement 420, faisant en sorte que celui-ci ne soit plus considéré comme étant un règlement ayant un effet sur le zonage, considérant que la procédure prévue par l'article 445 du Code municipal du Québec prévoit uniquement le dépôt d'un projet de règlement avant l'adoption d'un règlement, considérant que le Conseil veut éviter toute confusion à propos du respect de la procédure, par conséquent, il est proposé par la conseillère Mme Leslie-Anne Barber et appuyé par le conseiller M. Scott McDonald et résolu que le Conseil abroge la résolution 20-05-40-79 afin de suivre la procédure prévue pour les règlements ne concernant pas le zonage.
Modification to the procedure for adopting bylaw 04-20. Whereas a notice of motion was given at the meeting of May 27, 2020 to the effect that there will be an adoption of draft bylaw 04-20 concerning the implementation of a pilot project to allow the maintenance of laying hens. Whereas the draft bylaw was adopted at the meeting of May 27, 2020 in accordance with the procedure for the adoption of a zoning bylaw provided for in articles of the law and planning and town planning. Whereas the regulatory committee is proposing modifications to draft bylaw 04-20 so that it is no longer considered to be a bylaw having an effect on zoning. Whereas the procedure provided for in Article 445 of the Municipal Code of Quebec only provides for the tabling of draft bylaws before the adoption of a bylaw. Whereas Council wants to avoid any confusion regarding the respect of the procedure, therefore it is moved by Councillor Leslie-Anne Barber and seconded by Councillor Scott McDonald and resolved that Council repeals Resolution 20-05-4079 in order to follow the procedures provided for bylaws that do not concern zoning. All in favour?
Or.
Against? Carried. Item 5.7.
C'est le dépôt du projet de règlement 0420 concernant la mise en place d'un projet pilote pour permettre le maintien des poules pondeuses.
Tabling of the draft bylaw 04-20 concerning the establishment of a pilot project to allow for the maintenance of laying hens. Item 5.8.
C'est la mise en vente du lot numéro 5815108. Qui est le moulin et le MER garage. Considérant que les bâtiments sur le lot 5815108 appartenant à la municipalité nécessitent d'importants investissements pour être mis en état, considérant que les bâtiments sur le lot 5815108 n'ont pas une grande utilité municipale, considérant que l'article 6.3 du Code municipal du Québec stipule que, sauf disposition contraire, il est interdit à toute municipalité d'acquérir ou de construire un bien principalement aux fins de le louer, considérant que la municipalité n'entrevra pas de céder le lot tel que le permet l'article 7 du Code municipal du Québec, considérant que le lot 5815108 représente une bonne opportunité d'affaires et pourrait contribuer au développement du secteur, considérant que le comité de la voirie recommande la mise en vente du lot 5815108, par conséquent, il est proposé par la conseillère Mme Susan McKay, et appuyé par la conseillère Mme Leslie-Anne Barber, est résolu que le conseil transfère le 5815108 du domaine public vers le domaine privé afin qu'il soit vendu au plus offrant. Il est également résolu que le lot soit mis en vente et qu'il soit vendu pour au moins 80 000 $. Enfin, il est résolu que le conseil autorise par la présente la mairesse et le directeur général ou leur remplaçant à signer pour et au nom de la municipalité tous les documents donnant effet à la présente résolution.
Sale of lot number 5815108, the Moulin or Mill and M&R Garage. Whereas the building on lot number 5815108 belonging to the municipality requires significant investment to be restored, whereas the building on lot number 5815108 do not have much municipal utility, whereas Article 6.3 of the Municipal Code of Quebec stipulates that, quote, unless otherwise provided, no municipality may acquire or build property mainly for leasing purposes, unquote. Whereas the municipality does not intend to transfer the lot as permitted by Article 7 of the Municipal Code of Quebec, whereas lot number 5815108 represents a good business opportunity and could contribute to the development of the sector, whereas the Public Works Committee recommends the sale of lot number 5815108, therefore, it is moved by Councillor Susan McKay and seconded by Councillor Leslie Ann Barber and resolved that Council transfer property number 5815108 from the public domain to the private domain so that it is sold to the highest bidder. It is also resolved that the lot be put on sale and that it be sold for at least $80,000. Finally, it is resolved that Council hereby authorizes the Mayor and the Director General or their replacements to sign for, on behalf of the municipality, all documents giving effect to this resolution. All in favor?
Or.
I've got a question, Joanne.
Yes?
The when we get an offer, does that give you the absolute right to sign accepting any offer?
Well, that's the way it works. We take the highest bidder after the auction is completed.
Well, the minimum
bid. Minimum bid would be $80,000.
Or less than that. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Four.
Against? Motion carried. Item 6.1.
C'est la démission de l'employé 100035 à titre de pompier volontaire. Considérant que l'employé 100035 a informé la direction générale de sa démission à titre de pompier volontaire des services d'incendie de la municipalité de Pontiac, effective en date du 13 juin 2020, par conséquent, il est proposé par le conseiller M. Thomas Howard et appuyé par la conseillère Mme Susan McKay et résolu que le conseil accepte la démission de l'employé 100035 à titre de pompier volontaire. Il est également résolu que la municipalité désire remercier l'employé 100035 pour ses années de loyaux services.
Resignation of employee 10-0035 as volunteer firefighter. Whereas employee 10-0035 has informed the Director General of his resignation as a volunteer firefighter of the Fire Department of the Municipality of Pontiac, effective as of June 13, 2020. Therefore, it is moved by Councillor Thomas Howard and seconded by Councillor Susan McKay and resolved that Council accepts the resignation of employee number 10-0035 as a volunteer firefighter. It is also resolved that the municipality wishes to thank employee number 10-0035 for his years of dedicated service. All in favor?
Or.
Against? Carried. Item 6.2.
C'est la destitution d'un officier du service de sécurité incendie. Considérant que la municipalité est souscrite à la loi sur la sécurité incendie et de ce fait doit respecter le règlement sur les conditions pour exercer au sein d'un service de sécurité incendie municipal, considérant que ce règlement prescrit aux municipalités des normes à suivre relativement à la formation de ses pompiers de façon à prévoir des normes minimales de formation, considérant l'article 9 de ce règlement qui stipule que le pompier qui a pour tâche principale de superviser et de diriger le travail d'autres officiers doit être titulaire du certificat officier 1 décerné par l'École nationale des pompiers du Québec si le service de sécurité incendie dont il fait partie dessert une population de 5000 personnes ou plus et de moins de 25 000 personnes. Considérant que ce même article 9 du dit règlement prévoit une exception en permettant à un pompier, d'occuper cette fonction pendant la période de temps durant laquelle il est en voie d'obtenir la certification d'officier requise, à condition que cette période ne dépasse pas 48 mois consécutifs suivant la date d'entrée en fonction pour la certification officier 1. Considérant que le rapport d'évaluation du service de sécurité incendie de la municipalité de Pontiac, produit en mi-2016 par l'École nationale des pompiers de Québec, proscrit le maintien en poste de tout officier ayant cumulé 48 mois de service à ce titre sans détenir son certificat officier 1. Considérant que la municipalité a, de surcroît, consulté le ministère de la Sécurité publique du Québec, la MSP, et que ce dernier émet une recommandation défavorable vis-à-vis la prolongation du délai d'exception de 48 mois permis par le dit règlement, qualifiant cette manœuvre de stratagème. Considérant que le Conseil a mal été informé lors de la prise de décision de la résolution 17-08-32-12, car les employés 10-001 10 et 10-0008 n'ont pas complété la formation adéquate pour être nommé à nouveau capitaine. Considérant que l'employé 10-0008 n'est plus à l'emploi de la municipalité de Pontiac, considérant que l'employé 10-0010 a été nommé capitaine le 27 avril 2005 par la résolution 0504-698 et que depuis il n'a pas obtenu son certificat officier 1. Considérant que l'employé 10-0010 a outrepassé les délais d'exception de 48 mois permis par le dit règlement. Par conséquent, il est proposé par la conseillère Mme Leslie-Anne Barber et appuyé par la conseillère Mme Isabelle Patry et résolu que l'employé 10-0010 soit immédiatement destitué de sa fonction d'officier du... du service incendie. Il est également résolu que cette décision n'entraîne pas la rupture d'emploi avec l'employé 10-0010. Ainsi, donc, celui-ci est encouragé à poursuivre à titre de pompier volontaire pour la municipalité de Pontiac.
Dismissal, Fire Department Officer. Whereas the municipality subscribes to the Fire Safety Act and therefore must comply with the bylaws concerning the conditions for existing for exercising within municipal fire safety services. Whereas this bylaw prescribes standards to be followed by municipalities regarding the training of their firefighters to provide minimum training standards. Whereas section 9 of the bylaw, which stipulates that, quote, the firefighter whose main task is to supervise and direct the work of other officers must hold the Officer 1 certificate issued by the École nationale des pompiers du Québec if the fire department to which he belongs serves a population of 5,000 people or more and less than 25,000 people, unquote. Whereas the same section 9 of the said bylaw provides for an exception by allowing a firefighter to hold this position for the period of time during which he is in the process of obtaining the required officer certification, provided that this period does not exceed 48 consecutive months following the date of taking up his position for Officer 1 certification. Whereas the Municipality of Pontiac's Fire Department Evaluation Report produced in May of 2016 by the